If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Galatians tonight. Book of Galatians. Thank the Lord for the good singing tonight. I tell you, you boys, get you a sport coat. We'll get us a bus. I'll preach and y'all sing. I believe we could make it. Appreciate you that have come out tonight, especially you preachers. And appreciate those that have had us out to eat today and in to eat today. So we appreciate those acts of kindness. We began here yesterday and want to continue tonight looking at a little phrase that appears 25 or 30 times in the New Testament. And it is the little phrase, this man, this man. And every time it is mentioned, without exception of one or two, they're making a big to-do about Jesus. And so we're preaching in these days on making much of this man, this man. He's worth making a big to-do about. You and I ain't worth a memorable mention, but he's worth making a big to-do about. We preached yesterday morning on making much of this man's claims. It's who in the world does he think he is? He's the one with the crown. He's running the show. Then last evening, we made much of this man's compassion. He said he receiveth sinners. He said he'd even eat with them. I tell you, you can't beat that tonight. Tonight, I'd like to go further in our study of making much of this man. And I'd like to tonight, if I could, make much of this man's conduct. This man's conduct. Much is made today about man's conduct. We have a policeman over here tonight, and it's because of people's conduct. A lot of money's being spent tonight to change men's conduct. We even tried to pass laws that we might could legalize morality. Try to change man's conduct. And it seems to me, I don't know, you correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that we're none the better. Of course, religion comes along, they think they got the answer. Think man could change himself by willpower. Maybe turn over a new leaf, try to get him to rededicate himself. Religion comes along with all kinds of do's and don'ts and standards, laws. Preach them hard. We're none the better. How come? Bible said when the law entered, sin did abound more. I am convinced tonight that the only way to change a man's conduct tonight is by making a big to-do about his conduct. See, flesh will only bow to flesh, but spirit will not, will not. Will not bow to flesh. Making a big to-do about his conduct. Might be some areas of your conduct tonight. Man, I wish I could quit doing that. Tell you how you can. Make a big to-do about his conduct. Forget about yours. You ain't never going to change it. You's full of the devil when you come in this world. You'll be full of the devil when you leave this world. The only way you change your conduct, make big to-do out of his. Before we deal with his conduct tonight, I want to read a verse out of Galatians tonight, sort of piggyback off from it. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, extremely interested in this phrase. But Christ liveth the, know if you'd see that ETH or not, I thought I'd underline, liveth in me. If you're saved tonight, Christ says he has moved inside of you. Liveth the, he is not a guest inside of you tonight. He is not a renter. Does not go and come. If he has come to live inside of you, he has taken up permanent residence there. But here's the drawback. He will not take up permanent residence inside of you unless the former resident is dead. Are you listening to me tonight? He will not move inside of you tonight unless you can say, I am crucified with Christ. Former resident is dead tonight. As we begin to think about that tonight, I'd ask us to turn our Bibles tonight to Luke's gospel, making much of this man's conduct. Just exactly, who is it that has taken up residence inside of me? Just exactly how does he act? Just exactly how would he like to act in me and through me? Remember, he will not act in you and through you unless the former resident is dead. If former resident can say, I am crucified with Christ, I am dead, he shall live his life through you. What kind of life would it be? As we begin to look at his conduct tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23, I would draw our attention to the words of famous men about his conduct. I see in Luke 23, in verses 13 and 14, the words of Pilate. This is a pagan, Gentile, lost on his way to hell, probably been in hell for over 2,000 years now. This was what he said about Jesus' conduct. He says in verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, you have brought, there it is, gonna make a big to-do about him. He said, you brought me this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. He said, you said this man is misleading the people, perverting them. He says, and behold, I have examined him. I was interested in that word examined. It means to scrutinize. Investigate, interrogate, so as to make a determination. Literally give the third degree or put under a microscope. He said, I've checked him out very closely. Before you and have found what? No fault in this man. That little word fault is a logical cause or reason or accusation of a crime
anything ever done wrong? Absolutely. I cannot see where there is any evidence that he's ever done anything wrong.
Do you mean to tell me that's who's taking up residence inside of me? Wow. I stand amazed. Could you imagine what would happen to me if he would start acting like that through me? Wow. Gracious. I'm talking about the words of Pilate. If you have the Bible there, in this same chapter, Luke chapter 23, notice not only the words of Pilate, but notice the words of the people. Says in our text in verse number 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. He be the Christ, chosen of God. Crying up at the cross that he's the chosen of God. Save thyself. Isn't that what we're trying to do with our conduct? Not save ourselves. They come at him again in verse 37 saying, if thou, oh gracious, they've gone from the chosen of God now thinking he's got a crown. They said he's the king. He said, if you really got the crown, save yourself. Come down in verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, man gracious, he's gone from the chosen of God to having a crown. Now he's the Messiah. They asked him, save yourself. Here's the problem tonight. He doesn't need to save himself. He never came to save himself. He came to save me. That's the only reason he came. He's never done anything wrong. He's been interrogated. You mean to tell me tonight that the one who died in my place has taken up residence inside of me? Wow. I stand amazed. Could you imagine what he could do if I would just die? Let him live his life through me. Wow. Are you listening to me tonight? Talking about the words of Pilate. Save thyself. Could have called 10,000 angels and wiped the whole crowd out. What in the world held him there? Nails? God forbid.
Right.
He could have winked at the nails and they'd have come out.
What?
Preacher had Brother Burns sing tonight. He sung while he was hanging up there. The love of God held him up there.
Love for everybody, God forbid.
Love for me held him up there. His redemptive love. Words of the people. Words of Pilate. But I notice there's the words of a prisoner. Verse 41 of this same chapter, this other malefactor says, and we indeed justly, we're getting what we deserve. For we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But, well, this old thief over here thinks he'll make a big to-do about him. So what good did it do for him? He's in paradise when he got there. I love the hound out of that, don't you? He said, this man hath done nothing. I thought it was interesting. That little word, nothing, it is a double negative in the Greek.
Tell you, this old boy has been impressed with him. He says, I've been watching him. He said, no, not at all.
Right.
Has he done anything wrong?
Right.
Not done anything amiss. Anything out of order. Do you mean to tell me tonight, if I'm saved, that he has taken up permanent, ain't never going to move out until he takes my soul to heaven? You mean to tell me the likes of that are living inside the likes of me? Wow, I stand amazed. You realize what would happen tonight if I would die to my stinking self and let that live through me? Gracious, your kin folks would be shaking their head wondering what they had done with you. Are you listening to me? Talking about the words of famous men. You've got the Bible there tonight, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1. We're talking about making a big to-do about his conduct. See, we like to make a... I tell you, y'all pray for me, preacher. I'm trying to change some things in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to change some things. I've been trying to straighten up and turn. I've been trying to turn over a new leaf. I tell you what, preacher, you can just count on me. I'm trying to straighten this thing. Stop it! Give it up.
Amen.
You'll just make it worse.
Right.
Make a big to-do about his conduct.
Why, yes.
Die out.
Yes.
Let him live.
Amen.
That's, I'm going to tell you something. If he's ever moved inside of you, has something big living inside of you tonight. Not only do I see the words of famous men, but I see the words to a favored woman. Favored woman. I notice in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, there's the words about his conception. The angel came unto her and said, Hail, art highly favored. Much graced is the word. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast her mind what manner of salutations this should be. Angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive and do what? Conceive. Inside of you. He said, God's going to come and live in gracious. What he's telling Mary puts me in mind of what happened to me in 1968. God coming took up residence inside of me. She had the question for him, I think it's a legitimate question. She said, How in the world can that be? She said, I ain't never known a man. Joseph didn't supply no seed. She didn't supply no egg. Eighth grade science book says you can't do that. Hey, and the world says they don't believe God's living inside of me. But he is. Wow. Oh, I remember the day that the preacher was preaching on the woman at the well. Gracious, he put a seed inside of me and it erupted. And God was burned inside of me. You mean to tell me the same one that Mary had virgin born inside her? Are you telling me tonight that's the same one
that's taken up permanent residence inside of me. Wow. I stand amazed tonight. I'm hoping before I get to the end of these wows that some of you would realize he's inside of you and maybe you'd have a wow moment. Huh? That's if you're dead. Alive people don't have wow moments. Alive people do this. Dead people have a tendency to get beside themselves and act crazy. Words about his conception. Says in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us." Was thinking about this virgin-born Son of God inside of her. You've got the Bible there, talking about words to this favored woman. The book of 2 Peter, if you have the Bible there. Love this little text in 2 Peter, chapter number 1. We're talking about who's living inside of you. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the..."
Amen. Oh yeah, amen.
What? You mean to tell me I have got the very nature of God inside of me? Wow, I stand amazed. Can you imagine tonight if I had to die to my stinking self and everybody around me would begin to see the nature of God lived out through me? Wow, I'm talking about the words to a favored woman. How can that possibly be? How could that nature be lived out in me, preacher? You have your Bible there. Romans chapter number 8. Oh, I love this text. I hate to even show it to you. I know you ain't going to believe it. He says in verse number 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." If I'm in him, he's in me. No hell for me. What a thought. But watch this. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free."
Amen.
"From the law of sin and death."
Amen.
He has put within inside of me a new law. It's the law of Christ. And it frees me from the law of sin and death. We have opposing laws in our world. We have the law of gravity. What goes up, gonna come down. You can be as sincere. I tell you, I'm just so sincere. I just believe I can. I know I can. I can. I know I can. Go out here on the gable end of this building and jump off and fly. You fixing to get asphalt rash. But there are some opposing laws. I often go over to Atlanta to a place called Hartsfield Airport. Get on a jet with 350 other people. Taxi out at the end of the runway and stick our tongue out at gravity. How come greater law steps in? The law of aerodynamics. And oh, tonight, when you die to yourself, the new resident that is living in your life puts down the law of sin and he begins to live the law of Christ in you and through you.
Well, I'll tell you, you ain't got to worry about me, preacher. I got help in this meeting. I'm changing some things. I guarantee it'll be worse before the end of the week if you start changing it. Leave it be. Make a big to-do about his conduct. Talking about the words. Favored woman. Words of famous men. Not only his words about his conception. There are words about his conduct. But I notice in the Bible, if you have it there in Luke's Gospel back in chapter 1, there's words about his character. Words about his character. Said to Mary in Luke chapter 1 in verse 32, he shall be great. Greater than the greatest. Preacher, do you mean tonight that if I'm saved, the greatest of all the universe is living inside of me? Wow. I'm getting plumb amazed now. I don't even have to be great now. I got the greatest of all the universe living inside of me. Why he would come to live in the likes of me, I have no earthly idea. I could understand him coming to the likes of some of you. I've been around some of you. Some of you are pretty good. I'm as rotten as a devil itself. Huh? Oh, gracious. He said, he shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Highest of all the universe living inside of me. Give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Preacher, are you telling me that I've got a king living inside of me and it's impossible to dethrone him? Wow. I'm just plumb amazed. The likes of that would come get in the likes of me. Words, favored woman. Notice also, if you have the Bible there, Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. Not only are there the words to a favored woman, they're words of famous men. There is the words of faithful Scripture tonight. I notice in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2, there are the words of forgiveness. Words of forgiveness. Do you know, that there is nobody sitting on the row where you're sitting tonight that can forget if you've ever done them wrong? Ain't going to forget it. Oh, they may forgive you, but they're mine. Won't let them forget it. Oh, they may not act like it. But there'll be times when they'll be sitting around and they'll think of you and they'll think of that. So you just look at them. How would you like to have the likes of them living inside you? Watch the text. Words of faithful Scripture. Mark chapter number 2. Verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, taking the roof off, let this old boy down, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are... Didn't I not know if you see that S or not. I thought I'd underline it. Amen. If there's an S on the Bible word, it means all of them. Past, present, future. Amen. All thy sins are forgiven thee. We get our little word absolute from that little word forgive. Catholic priest, they want to do the last rites upon a Catholic parishioner because they need to absolve him of his sin before he enters into the eternal world. It'll lessen his time in purgatory. If I die, don't bother crawling the priest. When Jesus died on the cross, he absolved me of all my sins. It means to place one in a state where his sins never existed.
Right, right.
Amen. Preacher, you mean to tell me that I've got somebody living inside of me and he has totally done away with the fact that I have ever done anything wrong at all? Wow. Stand amazed tonight. I love what they said about him. Watch the text. Verse 6, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts and said, here it is. He won't make a big to-do about it now. He said, man, he's forgiven sins. They said, why doth this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? You see, you can't forgive nobody's sins, absolute them, unless you're God. Preacher, are you telling me tonight that the creator of the whole universe, God himself, has moved inside of you? Well, I'm getting plumb amazed now. Are you listening to me tonight? Words of faithful scripture. But I see not only there are the words of forgiveness. I notice in Romans chapter number 3 there are the words of justification. Justification. Romans chapter number 3. How in this world can he place me in a state where my sins never existed? Can't do that. It's your God. Yes, he thought he was God. Convince me of it. Romans chapter 3, verse number 26. Declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just. Be what? Just. And the justifier? You mean to tell me he can become sin for me and it not have a bit of effect upon him? He remained just as holy as he ever was. You mean to tell me the just and the justifier both are living inside me? Well, I'm just blowing my mind. There is a little sign coming up in the computer of my mind, and it says, tilt, cannot comprehend these truths. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the words of justification. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, knew no sin. I heard some preacher preach not long ago that he could sin, but he didn't. If that is your Jesus, keep him. I don't want him. I've already got one living inside of me. I got to keep an eye on. I got to kill him all the time. I don't want another one inside of me that can see, and I got to keep my eye on him too. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. He didn't see it because he couldn't.
Preacher, are you telling me that somebody has taken up permanent residence inside of me and it's impossible for them to see it? While I say, gracious, get out the way. Get out the way. Let him run the house. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, preacher, this meeting really helped me. I'm going to do better now. I done turned over a new leaf. You'll be worse than your Papa Adam and your Granny Eve. They were the first ones to do that stupid stuff of turning over a new leaf. Ain't them little old fig skirts trying to hide from God. Oh, Adam, don't worry. I turned over a new leaf. Stop it. Can't change your conduct. You make a big to do about his. He said, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christian life tonight is not something that I must reproduce. It's impossible. There has only ever been, in the entire history of mankind, there's only ever been one Christian. You listening to me tonight? There's only ever been one. The word does mean Christ-like. There is only one who is like Christ. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this. Maybe way over your head. There's only one who is like Christ, and that's Christ himself. Only one Christian. So this thing of living the Christian life is not me producing Christianity. But it's me dying to my stinking self. It's me realize who's living inside of me. And when I die, he shall reproduce himself in me and through me. But he is not going to do that in any house unless the former resident is dead. Are you listening to me tonight? Yep. I close. We've looked at it from various and sundry angles. The words of favored woman, words of famous men, words of faithful scripture. Could I mention last of all tonight the words of fault-filled son? Think about some of the ones that hung around Jesus. I was thinking about old Peter. You talking about a rascal. You talking about somebody that needed a conduct adjustment. Wow. Every time he opened his mouth, I believe with all my heart, the disciples rolled their eyes. Where in the world did he get that? He liked to cuss. He liked to fish in his birthday suit. Yeah, he's out there fishing that day. He said, I'm going fishing. Out there fishing in his birthday suit. How'd you like to go fishing with Peter? But at Pentecost, Peter died out. He realized that God Almighty had moved inside of him. God began to reproduce his life in and through Peter. Peter even raised the dead himself. They said they'd lay the sick people along the road, and Peter just walking by, when his shadow would go over them, they'd get healed. He became a martyr. Because he turned over a new leaf? God forbid. That boy couldn't turn over a new leaf. God living his life through him. I think about old James and John, the sons of thunder. Oh, those rough old fishermen. Oh, gracious. Their mama was just like them. Oh,
yeah, don't you remember her? She came to Jesus one day. She said, I'd like for my two boys, one of them sit on your right hand and one of them sit on your left hand in glory. She full of herself too. She needed to die too. Oh, God changed them, began to live his life through them. Those sons of thunder, old James was a martyr. Old John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, wrote the Revelation. How would you like to have been the first one to dip your pen in ink and write down these words? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe old John doesn't realize, gracious God Almighty, Son moved inside of me. I'm having a wild moment. I'm just overwhelmed. I was thinking about old Paul. He's like some of you. He's religious. He's the tribe of Benjamin. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'd imagine Paul had the whole Old Testament memorized. Pharisee, oh, straight as an arrow. Most people, if Paul come into church, make him chairman or deacon boy. What'd he do for a living, preacher? Kill Christians. He come riding into Damascus one day. He thought he was the chief of saints. And then he met this man. And he realized he's the chief of sinners. You know, the closer I try to get to him, the more of a rascal I realize I am. I realize that there's no hope for my conduct. It's too far gone. I just need to die to my stinking self and let him reproduce himself in me and through me. Tell you, when I think about him reproducing himself in me and through me, I ain't got to turn over no more new leaves. I ain't got to go somewhere. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to do better. I ain't got to do that no more. How come? Amen. This new resident I got living inside of me. Oh, when I die, he lives his life through me. I can say with the songwriter tonight, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. But the only thing I want to say is, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Makes me want to say, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I had a heart that was covered with sin, and he made it white as snow. Oh, yeah. Took my black heart, dipped it in his red blood, made it white as snow. And when I study on his conduct, muse on his conduct, meditate on his conduct, talk about his conduct, tell others about his conduct, it radically changes mine. Making much of this man's conduct. Would you stand with us tonight? I don't know what you need to change about your conduct. I don't know what you've been trying to change about your conduct. You say, well, preacher, I really can't think of anything right now that I need to change about my conduct. If you're in that state tonight where you just can't think of nothing you need to change, would you just lean over to the person sitting beside you and just whisper to them, could they think of anything that I need to change about my conduct? They probably could tell you several things right quick. But before you find out what you need to change, realize it's a lost cause. It can only be changed
making a big to-do about the one that is living inside of you. You must believe, you must reckon that you are dead. When he got off the cross, he left you on there. When you see that, live that, he will begin to reproduce his conduct in you and through you. I don't know what the need is. You know what God's saying to you. Preacher's going to come, show us what to do next. God's speaking. You do whatever he says.
Bethlehem, Calvary, all of it tells. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Mountains and plains with his praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior. Glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
You know, I was thinking while I was sitting over there, if the Apostle Paul was in this service pre-Damascus Road experience, he would stay put too. Because he didn't feel like he had ever done anything wrong. There was nothing bad about his conduct until he realized who Jesus is. I tell you, if he has ever, that's a big if he has ever moved inside of you, you would have more than likely flooded this altar. Because you realize how filthy, vile, and ungodly even your religious righteousness stinks to him. Such a need tonight of us having him live his righteousness, not our self-righteousness. Self-righteousness stands there.
And he's talking to those sinners tonight. They really need to change.
No, I'm talking to you. Religious people. Holly Springites. Conduct change. Him living his life through you. He's going to sing one more verse or whatever Brother Scott wants to do. It's up to you. Doesn't matter to me. It's not going to impress me if you do or if you don't. I tell you what, you'll never change your conduct. And some of you need a conduct change desperately. Desperately you need a change. You're losing children, you're losing grandchildren, you're losing friends, you're losing marriages, losing all kind of things because of your conduct. You've tried everything you know. You'd quit drinking water if you thought it would change you. Only thing can change your conduct is make a big to-do about his. Altar's still open. He's going to sing some more. God's speaking. You come.
There on the cross where he died for my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine. This poor wanderer to win. Oh. mine, lifting my burden, yes, relieving all of my care. Oh, what a Savior is mine, giving me courage to do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior.